Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Axis. Good morning to my brother and sister in the West, in the North East Center. I want to welcome my friend Wendy. I understand he's here, Wendy. I want to welcome you wherever you may be. I want to welcome my cousin also, Ern. I think he could be here. My cousin is very young. He's only in his 20s, all right? Does it make sense? Because we have a big family. Okay, anyway, welcome to Hope Singapore. Welcome to Hope Global. What a joy to be able to speak with you on the first weekend of the year 2025. If you are new with us, I want to welcome you either here in Axis, in the West, in the East region. You have joined us on a very special weekend. Because this weekend, we're going to hear what God has installed for our entire movement for this year. So before we begin, let's pray together, shall we? Just stretch your hands to your brothers and sisters on your left and on your right. Do the same in the east and the west, and just stretch your hands to your brothers and sisters on the left and right. Let's pray together for a while. Shall we do that? Father, we just want to pray in Jesus' name that you will minister to us. Lord, we long to hear your voice, O God. Lord, we come here, God, and our hearts are open. Lord, minister to us. I thank you for all the wonderful work that you have been doing through the different center pastor. We honor them and we pray, Lord, that today your spirit will reside upon all your centers and speak to all of us. In Jesus' name, and everyone say, amen. Amen. For a large part of the year 2024, God has been highlighting to me the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is both the director for church growth as well as the director for global missions. The Bible says it in no unclear terms, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We need the Holy Spirit. If we are serious about helping people who are far from God come to a place where they're able to name Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 13, verse 2 and verse 3, let's go back to the incident that took place in the first church. The Bible says that while the early church, they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting, the Holy Spirit, he was there. And he said to the early church leadership, he said that, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And so began the first global missions trip. The role of the Holy Spirit cannot be diminished or worse, be ignored. We need to honor the role of the Holy Spirit. As we march into the end of the end times, my friend, this is the era of the Holy Spirit. God started it. Jesus redeemed it. The Holy Spirit will bring it to completion. You see, friends, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, on top of signs and wonders, on top of praying in tongues, on top of supernatural miracle, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, one big part of the study of the Holy Spirit is about having this consistent consciousness, this constant connection, this regular surrender, and this desire to walk in obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible uses different elements to describe the Holy Spirit. Example are fire, wind, and water. As fire, the Holy Spirit set us burning for Jesus. John the Baptist described Jesus this way. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said that Jesus will come and baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit sets us on fire for the things of God. As a movement, we're not just here to do services. We're not here just to restore marriages, to help people live better, to help them get a better career, to be a better person. All these things are important. But at the end of the day, our vision is to fulfill the Great Commission. That's why we do what we do. That's why we exist. That's why we are here. We are here to fulfill the Great Commission. What's our mission? What do we do to fulfill this vision? Three things: love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. And we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sets us burning, set us on fire for Jesus. As wind, the Holy Spirit is someone we can feel. The Holy Spirit is someone we can experience. We feel it. We experience it. But the downside of being a wind is that the Holy Spirit is also someone we can very easily neglect. I don't think many of us travel around, oh, wind. We don't do that because we feel it, we experience it. We may complain when things are hard, but in truth, we would also very easily neglect the work of the Holy Spirit. We do not want to neglect the Holy Spirit. We want to be conscious of His presence, listen to Him, and obey His leading. And the truth is this, the Holy Spirit longs to speak to us more than we long to listen to the Holy Spirit. And every time when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we listen and we obey, the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us and guide us. We do not want to disobey the Holy Spirit because disobedience to the Holy Spirit will mute His voice in our hearts. That is why Jesus described it this way. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus talked about the people whose hearts are hardened. He said that for the hearts of these people, they are hardened. Their ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes, even though the eyelids are open, but they have closed their spiritual eyes so that their eyes cannot see, their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Jesus wants to do His work in your life. But our hearts are hard. Our ears are plucked. Our eyes are closed. We can't see, we can't hear, we can't understand. Jesus wants to do greater works in our life. So Jesus warned the people. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please sit back as Hope Singapore presents to us Focus 2025.
Sometimes I wonder, am I that easy to miss? I can sit there quietly, hours,
days, weeks,
but no one will seem to notice. They come and go. Too busy living.
Busy surviving. You call out to me when things don't seem so clear.
And I try to help.
I really do.
But there are always other ways. Better ways, they say. Ways better than me.
The weather service in the Cincinnati tribe.
Still, I stay.
I always stay. In the corners, in the quiet, in the moments when no one else will. You think you're strong enough on your own.
A little bit more.
A little bit further.
And soon it'll work out.
Work out.
But one day, your weakness will overcome you.
Overcome you.
Yet I was there. From the day you took your first breath to the day you looked up to the heavens and wondered how it came to be. I am there. I carried life across oceans, a tapestry in the skies I weave. So why did you blot out the clouds in the skies? Forget about the very breath you take. Perhaps you've been led to believe that I'd stay silent forever. Or maybe you've just forgotten how to listen.
For I've been here all along. I've never stopped speaking to you. In every breath of stillness, in every whisper between your thoughts. I am here waiting, quietly and patiently. Soften your heart. Open your eyes. Listen. The wind that breathes new life is beckoning.
The focus for 2025 is when he speaks. Let those who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying to us. So the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as fire, so as burning for Jesus, as wind we experience, but we can easily neglect. The Holy Spirit is also being described as water. Now I'd like to bring you to the main text for today, Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through to 12. This is such an exciting passage. I'm going to read it for you, right? Just listen to the reading of the Word of God. Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through to 12. The Bible says, the man, talking about the angel, brought Ezekiel, me, back to the entrance to the temple. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Verse 2. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. Verse 3. As the man, the angel, went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was now knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. Verse 5. He measured off another 1,000 and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water has risen and was deep enough to swim in, a water that no one could cross. Then the angel asked me, Ezekiel, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, the water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. When it enters the Dead Sea, when it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from El Gadin to El Iglam. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 11, but the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Verse 12, let's read together, shall we? In full voice, please. The Bible says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit. Why? Because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Today I want to talk to you about Focus 2025. When he speaks. From these 12 verses, I like to unpack three insights for us. The first insight we can learn from this passage, number one, is that you and I, if we are believer of Christ, we get to host the Holy Spirit. The first lesson that I want to share with us is that we get to host the Holy Spirit. Now, let me set the context for you. The context of the vision that we have just read, where the angel led Ezekiel to see a vision. This vision took place after the return of God's glory to God's temple. It was a kind of utopic world, a perfect world. So this was the context. Now, let's look at Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. The Bible says, the man, meaning the angel, brought Ezekiel back to the entrance to the temple. And then Ezekiel saw this. What did he see? Water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple. So Ezekiel saw this vision. There's this temple, and water was coming out from the temple. This took place in Ezekiel 47 in the Old Testament. The question that we beg to ask ourselves, what does it mean for us who live in modern day Singapore, 21st century, what does it mean to us? Well, firstly, the temple refers to God's people. We as individuals and we as a corporate body, we are God's temple. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Paul says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And because you are God's temple, God's spirit dwells in your midst. And then in verse 17, he said that if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred. And you together, Axis, adults, East people, West people, you together are that temple. How about water? Remember the vision that Ezekiel saw? Temple, meaning us, water. What is water? Well, from Jesus' teaching, it's kind of clear that when he talks about the river of life, it refers to the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Jesus thought these words. He said, whoever believes in me, Christians, anyone of us who have named Jesus as our Lord and Savior, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Out of the depth of the deepest recesses of our heart, rivers of water will flow within us. And then in verse 39, he said that by this, he meant the Spirit. So if you put these different elements together, the Bible is telling us two things. Number one, you are God's temple. If you are sitting beside a believer, turn to them, look at them eyeball to eyeball, and then say this, you are God's temple. Come on, tell them, you are God's temple. That's the first thing that we learn. Number two, as God's temple, what that means is that we get to host the Holy Spirit. We get to host the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you have already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you and works through you. The Holy Spirit lives in you and works through you. Every one of you have the Holy Spirit. It's not only the people on stage, not only the pastor, the leaders, not only the people you see on internet has millions of followers. It's not only every one of us. Either you are a 20-year-old believer or a two-day-old believer, you have the Holy Spirit. I think one of the famous saying, some of the children pastor will say to the children in our church, hey, children, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have the junior Holy Spirit. You have the same Holy Spirit. And if I may add, those of you who are senior, the Holy Spirit in you is not old. Even though you are old, the Holy Spirit in you is still fresh and young. It's the same Holy Spirit. We got to get this fact. Sometimes we don't get it. This is a mind-blowing kapoof truth. Because when God created us, the Bible says that God on the first day, let there be light, and so on and so forth. On the sixth day, let there be man, let there be woman, and then there was man, and then God was walking with man in the quietness of the garden. So God was here and man was here. But God says that's not enough. I want to be close to my creation. So what did he do? He put on monkey suit. He became like you and I. He came to earth as Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The God of heaven and earth confined himself to you and I. Have to experience things like patot tian. You understand what I'm saying? How incredible is that? I am God. I confine myself to like, is something wrong? I got to go to the toilet. I got to pee. I got to wee. I got to sleep. What am I doing? He loves us so much. God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Halley's Comet, the Grand Canyon, he loved us so much, he couldn't take it. I want to be close to my people. So what did he do? He became man, Jesus, God with us. As if that wasn't enough, he said, no, I want to go closer. I want to go deeper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to live in us. We all have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't know. Like the wind. The Holy Spirit is with us. God with us. God in us. God created us. God with us. God in us. Every one of us, we get to host the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 18, the Bible says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Not just those who are very intellectual, the simple. Not just those who are rich, the poor. Not just the man, the woman. Not just the Singaporean, the Indian, the African, everyone. I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men, young and old, will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. My friend, this is the power of everybody. God will shift the emphasis from the powerful few to the empowered everybody. This is the church of the everybody, not just Hope Church. That's God's idea of a church, the power of everybody. There are things that you can do that I can't do. There are things that I can do that you can't do, even though I doubt so. But there are people that you can reach that I can't reach. There are things that you know that I don't know. There are things that you experience and have overcome that I have no idea what it is really all about. This, my friend, is the power of everybody. Everyone gets to host the Holy Spirit. So beside fire, beside wind, beside water, the Holy Spirit is also being described as being a dove. John the Baptist testified about Jesus and the Holy Spirit in this way. John chapter 1, verse 32. The Bible says, then John gave this testimony about Christ. He said that, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Remain on Jesus. The Holy Spirit come down as a dove and remain on Jesus. The dove is a rather skittish animal. The dove is easily startled. Have you ever seen these things before? I'm sure you have seen it before. You have been to Botanical Garden before. A group of doves, maybe in the middle of a park, and then some children see the dove. What does children want to do? They want to run towards the dove, right? They were like, wah! And then what's going to happen? All the dove will, they'll fly away. Because dove kind of easily scattered. Started and very skittish. So, in order for the physical dove to remain on us, we need to walk gingerly. We need to live in a careful fashion. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, like a dove, remain on Jesus. So let's draw from the physical to the spiritual. Imagine I want to have a dove on me. I got to walk gingerly. I got to walk slowly, go downstairs. Like, I got to live carefully. Pastor Tim, I know you're on my right, huh? Okay. How are you, Pastor? Don't shake too hard, huh? You got to live carefully. So similarly, if we want to experience the Holy Spirit in our life, we cannot afford to live carelessly. We cannot afford to live in a thoughtless fashion. Live and let live. We can't do that. Now, how can we live carefully? Let me give you a few suggestions how we can live carefully. Firstly, I want to suggest to you to live a life where you pray in the Spirit regularly. You pray in the Spirit. On the way to work, in the MRT, when you drive, pray in the Spirit. Don't just put your mind on auto mode or on sleep mode. Just pray. Pray in the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Have this interaction, connection with the Holy Spirit. Just pray beneath your breath. Secondly, I want to ask you to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us. Be conscious of the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a wind we can experience, we can feel, but we cannot afford to neglect or ignore the Holy Spirit. Be conscious of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit will never lead us or speak to us or guide us in ways that's contrary to the principles of the Bible. Maybe some of us, when we hear the Holy Spirit, and then we begin to wonder to ourselves, is this the Holy Spirit or is this myself? Or worse, is this the evil spirit? So when we hear that, check with the Bible. Is this consistent to the Word of God? Fourthly, I want to ask you to listen to the Holy Spirit through times of solitude and silence. Solitude is so important. The Bible says that Jesus left the place with the disciples to went to a solitary place where he prayed. Solitude. Maybe in modern days, it's not so much about leaving people alone. Leave your mobile phone. Leave your laptop. Leave your social media. Leave your work. Be alone with God. Need to be alone with God. Just you and God. Not because you're selfish, but because I need a download from God. I need to hear the Holy Spirit. Time of silence, so important. Silence is so precious. It becomes an expensive commodity. People check into spa, pay hundreds of dollars so they can hear nothing. Accept some or just water. Silence. Quench the noise to hear the voice. Silence. Solitude. Lastly, being a holy vessel for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit because it is a spirit that is holy. And the Holy Spirit longs to dwell on holy vessels. Live a life of repentance. Live a life where you're soft towards the things of God. Don't have a hard heart. Always have a soft heart towards God. No matter how young you are or how old you are, no matter how long you have been in the kingdom, no matter who you may be in the marketplace, no matter how powerful you think you are, always have a soft heart towards God. Remember, you are nothing but a prodigal son. I am nothing but a prodigal son. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Come to a place when we sin, we say, God, I'm sorry, help me. And when we do that, Holy Spirit will come and dwell in us once again. We must, my friend, have a desire to listen to the Holy Spirit. We must have a desire to listen to the Holy Spirit. In 1 Kings 19, God spoke to Elijah. But God didn't speak to Elijah in an earth-shattering earthquake, nor in a powerful wind, nor in a blazing fire. The Bible tells us that God spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. 1 Kings 19, verse 12 and verse 13. The Bible says, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper, and God was there. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. You see, God longs to whisper to us. Whispering is defined in the Oxford Dictionary as speaking using one's breath rather than one's throat or one's vocal cords. Using one's breath. You don't use your vocal cords. You don't need to project your voice. Chinese words, when you check the word whisper, it's kind of interesting because the Chinese translation for the word whisper is 耳语, literally means ear language. In order to hear a whisper, you need to put your ear close. Because you whisper, you don't use your vocal cord, you don't use your throat, you use your breath. Larry. Han. Don't worry, Lionel, I'm not calling you. Tim. The question we want to ask ourselves is this: why does God whisper? Is it because God got asthma? You know why God whisper? Because the end goal, right? It's not just for God's message to get through to you. God's end goal is for you to be near Him. Because in order to hear a whisper, you can't be on the other side of the room. You got to move near, 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 until a place where you can listen to 耳语, I love you. And that's God's desire. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. It's not just about manifestation and signs and wonders. It's not that these things are wrong, they are important, but that's not the end goal that God has in mind when He sent the Holy Spirit, oh, so that you can bow. All these things are important for the sake of fulfilling Great Commission, but one of the key goals of why God sent the Holy Spirit is so that we can be close to Him. In fact, I see some of the fathers in our church, sometimes you play this trick with your children. I've seen it once. I think a father kind of played a trick with his children. He said, like, for example, the daughter is called Rebecca. He say, Rebecca. Then the father say, then the kid say, some more, what? Rebecca. What? Rebecca. Then the kid, come near. Then the father, got you. That's my angle. I just want to hug you. Cheers. That's how it is. That would bring me to the second point. Not only do we host the Holy Spirit, number two, we also surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verses 3-5 together. Ezekiel 47. Now, walk through these verses with me. Don't miss this. The Bible says, as the angel went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. A cubit is an ancient measuring unit that measures the length from one's elbow to the tip of one's middle finger. It's about 45 centimeters. I'm about 44 centimeters because I'm vertically challenged, as you can see, right? Some of you who are taller, maybe 46, but average, about 45 centimeters. So 1,000 cubits is about 450 meters. So the Bible says, this angel measured off 450 meters and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 450 meters and led me through the water. Now it became knee deep. He measured off another 450 meters and led me through the water. Now it's up to the waist. He measured off another 450 meters, and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water has risen and was deep enough to swim in a river that no one could cross. So there was a tabernacle, there's a river, Ezekiel saw this, and then the angel led Ezekiel to go through this ankle, knee, waist until it fully submerged exercise. What is God communicating to us through this vision? God is saying this, don't miss this. God is saying that even as we host the Holy Spirit, God wants us to grow in our surrender to the Holy Spirit. That is what the Bible is telling us. Not only to host the Holy Spirit, but we need to walk in a growing surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Now, perhaps some of us, we are new believers. Our surrendering to the Holy Spirit is only ankle deep. We are only ankle deep. We have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's a wonderful experience. The Holy Spirit, i.e. the water of life, does have some impact in us. Ankle deep. But we want more. We want to continue to grow in our walk with the Holy Spirit until it is knee-deep in the river of life. When we're in this knee-deep position, the truth is that when you have water up to your knee, there is some impact. There is some effect in your life. It does impact you. It's going to be a bit more challenging to trot around, you know, because you have to lift your leg really high, really high, really high. But the truth is that God wants you to move deeper, not only from the ankle to the knee. God wants you to move from the knee to the waist level. Waist deep. Now, if you have just progressed to this waist deep level as a believer, congratulations. You just come to faith not too long ago. You have progressed. You have experienced the Holy Spirit from the ankle to the knee, and now you're at the waist. However, if you have been at this waist level for a substantial period of time, i.e. you have been stuck there, friends, I want to urge you and me to live a life of repentance. We need to go deeper. You know, this waist level is kind of a very interesting level because this is what I call the 50-50 level. The 50-50 level, half in, half out. Half following the Holy Spirit and half following our own ways. You know, as I prayed for this entire focus, God spoke to me. It's going to be painful to hear this because it's not only for you, it's also for me. Please listen. God spoke to me that many of us, that is the exact position that we are stuck in. We are at this 50-50 level. Half in, half out. Half in the spirit, half following our own ways. We love God, we serve God, and yet there is this incredible, I'm using the word in a negative way, incredible lack of faith that God can do great things through us. And then we hide behind the veneer that we are humble, we are, we don't think big. But at the end of the day, who are you serving? You're serving God, for crying out loud. Let's start from God. Let's not start from us. We lead, but we don't really trust that God can work through us to grow His church qualitatively and quantitatively. We serve God, but the truth be told is that we often complain and gripe about the things we have to do. We give, but we are not cheerful. We do the ministry of the Holy Spirit without the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this is not just for leaders, this is for many of us. We come to service, but there's no expectation. There's no sense of expectation. I'm going to I'm meeting God, encounter God. Well, yes. Religion. Religiosity. No expectation. No desire to grow. No desire for the things of God. We're just here. You know why? Because last Sunday we were here, so this Sunday we're going to be here. And then because we are here this Sunday, next Sunday we're going to be here. It's just become a routine thing. A routine thing. We know God and we fear God enough to not live in an all-out paganistic way. But yet, I find myself not loving God enough to commit myself fully to Him. Half in, half out. And because we are half in, half out, at least it gives us a facade that we are in the spirit, but in truth, we are not in the spirit. We are just half in, half out. In fact, the Bible described it this way. Jesus didn't describe, don't give me cold drink, I can't take because, you know, it stings my teeth. You know, don't give me too hot, it scald my tongue. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said that you're neither hot nor cold. And because of that, I'm going to kind of throw you out. And we don't want to live in this position. So we need, Thomas, to go deeper, to move from the ankle, to the knee, to the waist, to a place where we're totally submerged in the water. We need to do that. We need to do that. A river so deep that no one could cross. We lose control. We are complete control by the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's give Thomas a big hand. I told Thomas that he can only get up after we clap, so thank you for loving him. Please don't fall. It's when he speaks, not when he falls. Just as the angel led Ezekiel to journey from the ankle to the knee to the waist to a place where he's totally submerged in the water, the Holy Spirit longs to lead us to experience him from the ankle to the knee to the waist until we are fully submitted to the works of the Holy Spirit. So my friend, it is not so much about asking for more of the Holy Spirit as much as it is about asking the Holy Spirit to have more of us. If you have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit didn't deposit his leg in you and then his body somewhere else. He's with you fully. It's about us submitting ourselves to the works of the Holy Spirit. It's about surrendering to the Holy Spirit. One of the celebrities that I work with, his name is Zhu Houren. Some time ago, he shared with me that the Holy Spirit spoke to him about sharing the gospel through home visitation, especially to those who are old and those who are immobile. He heard the Holy Spirit, and more importantly, he obeyed the Holy Spirit. So since December 2021, he had personally led more than 20 people to Christ. Houren is not only faithful to share the gospel, he also does his very best to connect these new converts to local churches. Our member, Zhou Chuming, even though he's not physically mobile, he also heard the Holy Spirit and he joined Houren for many of these ventures. They heard the Holy Spirit, they obeyed, and they followed the ways of the Holy Spirit. You see, surrendering to the Holy Spirit is not only for ministry, but also for personal growth. I know of a leader who falls sick often. I told him that as leaders, we need to be healthy. I jest with him. I said that, you know, so-and-so, it's kind of hard to attend meeting without bringing your body along. You know that, right? So to be effective and dependable, we need strong bodies. The leader was convicted, not only by what I say, more importantly, by the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, he obeyed the Holy Spirit. He started exercising. He exercises at least twice weekly, and now, I guess he's falling sick less often. Praise God. This is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is about loving God with your body. Another story. I know of a leader who has set a 15-minute cap on his phone for social media. He told me that only his wife has the passcode to this app. I don't know what's the name of the app though. He heard the Holy Spirit prompting that he was spending way too much time on social media. He heard the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, he obeyed the Holy Spirit. This two last story that I share you, they sound simple, but I want to assure you, they are game changers. They are game changers. If you truly want to live with the Holy Spirit remaining on you in a careful fashion, not in a thoughtless fashion, these are game changers. We need to live a life that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want to ask you right now. I dare you, wherever you're sitting, watching on the screen, I dare you to pray this prayer and mean it in your heart. You say, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. Have your way in me. Pray it and mean it. Pray it and mean it. And the Holy Spirit will do great things through you. Do God's things through you. So number one, host the Holy Spirit. Number two, surrender to the Holy Spirit. Number three, bring life through the Holy Spirit. Bring life through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verses 7 to 9. Look at verses 7 to 9. This picture is building to a crescendo. It is so amazing. Let's look at verse 7. The Bible says, when Ezekiel arrived there. Where is there? This is the bank of the river. And then the angel said, see. What did he see? He saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. At this point in time, as you read this verse, maybe it doesn't kind of appeal to you much. It doesn't kind of drop to you because you may not understand the context, but let me explain to you. He said that I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Then the angel said to Ezekiel, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. What's the Arabah? Arabah is basically a desert region. And then it enters into the Dead Sea, When it empties into the sea, the salty water in the Dead Sea becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live in the Dead Sea, because where the river flows, there will be life. There will be large number of fish in the Dead Sea. Why? Because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Now, as many of you would know, the Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet. The Dead Sea has a salinity of 35%, which is almost 10 times as salty as the ocean. This salinity makes for a harsh environment in which plants and animals cannot flourish, hence the name Dead Sea. But can you see the transformation the water from the temple brings to the desert region and how it transforms the Dead Sea? Salty water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures start to come out from the Dead Sea. Large number of fishes. So where the river flows, everything will live. No, it's not just about living creatures, not just about fishes. There is more. How do I know that? Let's look at verse 12. The Bible says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit. No such thing as durian season. Every month there is in season. Why? Because the river from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Wow. This, my friend, the water flowing down from the temple, going through the desert, changing the desert. Fruit trees, swarms of living creatures, fishes, the salty water in the Dead Sea comes alive, becomes fresh. My friend, this is an image of life, of joy, of fullness, satisfaction, wholeness, abundance, salvation. This is the picture of the kingdom of God. That is the picture, my friend. See, the river of life does two things. The Holy Spirit does two things. Number one, the Holy Spirit renews us. It renews us. It changes us. We were once dead, but now we are alive. We were once angry. Now we are more joyful. At least for me, I was once angry. Now I think I'm less angry. But we are angry now, we are joyful. Once we were stingy, now we are generous. Once we were depressed, mental issue, mental challenge, but now we have hope in Christ. Once we were negative, we always see the black dot on the whole piece of white paper, but now we are encouraging. Once our marriage was cold, now we are in love and in sync with God. Once we just exist and have life, now we are alive, just as John chapter 10, verse 10 has described to us. Holy Spirit, renew us. It's not a good to have. It's an essential. Holy Spirit renews us. The Holy Spirit also restores our environment. The Holy Spirit restores our environment. The Holy Spirit brings life through us everywhere that we go. Everywhere that we go, this is a picture of the end times. The water flowing out from the tabernacle. We are the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit is in us and flows through us. And everywhere that we go, the Holy Spirit works through us. You know, friends, just give me 5 more minutes of your time. As a church whose vision is to fulfill the Great Commission. This Ezekiel 47 picture should really excite us. It should really shift our heart's posture. This is a picture of the end times. By the way, this vision in Ezekiel 47 in the Old Testament is a very similar vision described in Revelation 22. The last chapter in the Bible, the end game. This is the end game. In Revelation chapter 22, let me read for us. Let's compare these two images, how similar it is. The Bible says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, missions. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servant will serve him. This is the picture. This is the picture. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Come on, help me. On earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let whatever that's happening upstairs come downstairs where the river flows. No more curse. This is the picture. This is why we do what we do. We're not here just to run services. We're not here just to run life group. We're not here just to run program. Have no time for that. We are here because we are living God's vision. This is the end game. Ezekiel 47. God gave Ezekiel a taste of what will happen. But the question that we beg to ask ourselves is this: how will this vision come to pass? How will Ezekiel 47, Revelation 22 come to pass? When the water fills the temple and the water flows out of the temple and changes everything it touches. When you and I, the temple of God, we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to bring transformation everywhere that we go. When you and I, we learn to hear from God and we begin to obey God and speak forth for God. We don't want to live a life where we have to say something because we have to say something. We want to live a life where we have to, where we say something because we have something to say. And how can you have something to say until unless you first hear God? Let God speak to you about your life, about your workplace, about your family, about your life group, about the way you are stewarding your one and only life, about the way I am stewarding my one and only life. When we learn to hear from God, we need to have ears that will listen. Alfred Tomatis was a French doctor specializing in ENT, ear, nose, throat treatment. An opera singer lost his ability to hit certain notes, and he consulted some ENT doctors. All the doctors diagnosed that he had a vocal issue. But Alfred Tomatis discovered something quite different. Other specialists thought that it was a vocal issue, but Tomatis found out that it was actually a hearing issue. You see, this opera singer produced sounds when he sings as loud as 140 decibels. What is that? That is louder than a jet plane taking off. He sang so loudly that he has deafened himself to those notes. And that has led to what is now known as the Tomatis effect. The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. Our hearing and our vocal abilities, they are closely connected. Similarly, we can only speak for God when we have first heard from God. When God speaks, we listen. After we listen, we obey, and then we begin to speak for God. That's how the river of life will change the desert area and transform the Dead Sea. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Let's stand to our feet right now, shall we?